Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has begun a week-long trip to Argentina and Chile. Trade unions have launched a campaign against the government's pension tax and health care reform plans. And momentous changes are in store for the Czech Republic, according to the April Fool's editions of several Czech media outlets. Czech President Václav Klaus has left for a week-long visit to Argentina and Chile. Mr. Klaus met with Argentine President Cristina Fernández Kirchner in Buenos Aires on Thursday. They discussed possible Czech investments into Argentina's energy sector. The news website Lidovky.cz reported the Czech head of state was impressed by the host, who recently came to Prague on a private visit. Václav Klaus is set to leave for Patagonia on Friday before arriving in the Chilean capital. Trade unions have launched a campaign against the government's pension, tax, and healthcare reform plans. The Confederation of Trade Unions says the aim of the Open Your Eyes campaign, for which some 80 billboards have gone up, is to convince the government to revise the reforms to be, quote, logical and justifiable. Main complaints include the transfer of workers' pension deductions from the state pension system to private savings funds, higher medical payments, and tax reform, including VAT, which the unions say will increase the public finance debt by 80 billion crowns annually. Organizers say they are also prepared to call for a general strike. Prague's International Film Festival, Febiofest, wraps up its 18th year on Friday evening. This year's festival included 190 films from 56 countries. The winner of the New Europe competition went to director Marcina Wrona for his film Chrzest, which is one of the most acclaimed Polish films of this year. Present at the closing ceremony will also be Australian director Peter Weir, who will receive the Christian Award for Lifetime Contribution to International Cinema. This year's festival included a number of venues where films are not usually screened, such as Prague Airport's Terminal 2, where a series of films on airplanes and airports were shown. Momentous changes are in store for the Czech Republic, if one is to believe the April Fool's editions of several Czech media outlets. Most consequential is the revelation of news website Lidovky.cz that the country is to introduce the euro as of January 1st, because the date is easy to remember. The main remaining issue is apparently what likeness the tail side of the Czech euro coin should take, whether Euro Commissioner Václav Klaus or the Temelín nuclear power plant. Meanwhile, EdenSCZ reports that plans to insulate Prague's prominent Cathedral of St. Vitus will result in a peach-colored makeover. Convincing video interviews relate that the eco-friendly project will see the landmark covered in polystyrene panels, similar to those used in prefab housing. Revealingly, many of those commenting on the article were not the least bit surprised. Turning briefly to sports news, Czech tennis star Tomáš Berdych has dropped out of the Miami Masters tournament in the quarterfinal round, losing to world number one Rafael Nadal of Spain. The score was 2-6, 6-3, 3-6. Last but not least, for the news and weather, conditions are expected to be warm and sunny over the weekend, with highs of up to 22 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news from Radio Prague.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up today, the Czech Constitutional Court rules the country's data retention law invalid. Then we'll have the latest news from the world of Czech business. And later, stay tuned for a new edition of Arts. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Constitutional Court has invalidated a law that forces operators to retain data on telephone calls and internet traffic on the grounds that it violates people's rights to privacy. In a highly anticipated ruling on Thursday, the court said that the provision ordering data on all calls, faxes, text messages and email exchanges to be retained for 6 months was unconstitutional, since it enabled a massive invasion into citizens' rights and was not in line with the rule of law. Daniela Lazarová reports.
Few people are aware of just how much information about them the telecommunications data retention law provides, who they associate with, where they go, where they spend their weekends, what websites they visit, and even what time they get up in the morning. Under the present legislation, which requires operators to retain all information for a period of 6 months, the police can acquire this information within minutes of requesting it. Although the law stems from a European Union directive and to some degree data retention is used in most countries of the European Union as a means of fighting terrorism and organized crime, its critics are becoming increasingly vocal, arguing that the state is collecting and retaining far more information about its citizens than the situation merits. Following the example of Germany, where the law was overturned last year, 51 Czech deputies filed a complaint about it with a constitutional court and achieved their goal. The court unanimously ruled the law unconstitutional.
Nutně dochází k omezení až potlačování jeho práv a svobod.
Court Judge Eliška Wagnerová there giving an explanation of why the Data Retention Act is not in line with the rule of law in a democracy. Marek Benda, a Civic Democrat MP who fought to have the law overturned, says it was poorly tailored in the first place.
Hlavní problém je, že se uchovává strašně moc dat. Aniž bychom věděli, k čemu je to vlastně potřeba.
The main problem is that a huge amount of information is being retained without good reason, and basically anyone can get to it. That is simply not right. The state should be able to collect as much information as it wants about criminals, but not about all its citizens on the argument that each one of them is a potential criminal.
Ale nemůžu na všechny, protože nikdo je potenciálně zločinec.
In line with the court ruling, existing databases should be scrapped within 2 weeks. While the law's critics are cheering, the Interior Ministry is disappointed with the decision, saying it will seriously hamper its work, from tracking down criminals to finding missing persons. In cooperation with the Ministry of Justice and the Industry Ministry, it wants to draft a new law on telecommunication data retention. A similar revision of the law in the United Kingdom led to an arrangement whereby telephone operators and internet service providers retain some data under an arrangement with a Home Office.
Daniela Lazarova with that report. Now I'm joined in the studio by Jan Wellinger with a weekly summary of Czech business news.
Internet website Bankovní Poplatky CZ, specializing in bank fees, has revealed that in 2010, Czech banks charged a record 38 billion crowns in bank fees. According to its analysis, every second, banks charged 1,216 crowns per person, a 60 crown increase apparently from the previous year. All in all, that adds up to more than 100 million crowns per day. The website's Patrick Nacher said the last time fees had seen such a similar increase was in 2006-2007. Several large banks only recently announced they would waive some client account fees depending on account volume and turnover.
A new super employment bureau begins operation in the Czech Republic in April, connecting 77 offices which have existed until now. The move is part of the government's plan to cut spending by streamlining bureaucracy concerning the payout of unemployment and other social benefits. The bureau will effectively take over some competencies until now held by local city halls. The Labour Minister, Jaromír Drábek, stressed that despite the restructuring, users would not notice the changes, continuing to communicate through some 409 local branches. The new super bureau, the minister estimated, will save the state some 180 million crowns in operational costs.
The Czech national carrier ČSA ended a co-chairing contract with Air France this week, a spokeswoman confirmed, as ČSA undergoes restructuring. Anna Hejsková confirmed that the airline had reassessed several of its commercial contracts as it prepared its summer timetable. In specific cases, including the routes between Prague and Paris, Strasbourg and Marseille, ČSA had decided to operate flights using its own planes only. Ms. Hejsková stressed that the state-controlled Czech carrier was not slamming the door on the SkyTeam Airline Alliance, in which Air France is a key player.
The Czech Republic's largest carmaker, Škoda Auto, has placed 8th in automobile manufacturer ratings featured in the UK Reliability Index. The index is issued by the UK's extended warranty provider, Warranty Direct, which covers cars 3 to 10 years of age. Factored into this survey are all elements of repairs on vehicles, from the cost of parts to the frequency of failures. Škoda placed top among European manufacturers. Chevrolet, Honda and Suzuki finished in first through third spot.
And finally, the Czech energy giant ČEZ reported on Friday that it will have to temporarily shut down a 456-megawatt unit at the Dukovany nuclear power station, this due to repair of leaking piping in the containment area. In a statement released by the company, they said that the leak in vent piping would require a cooling down of the unit, Unit 4, and depressurization. The length of the shutdown is yet to be determined after tests are run at the weekend.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, broadcasting from Prague. In this week's edition of Arts, we have a roundup of recent stories from the Czech art scenes. In this edition, how a new project called Art Banka is helping emerging young artists in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. The highly respected Prague theatre Davidské divadlo launches a new play based on the life of early 20s Czech adventurer Jan Eskimo Velco. And a precious black-and-white photograph by František Drtikol, stolen 2 weeks ago, is returned to Prague's Museum of Decorative Arts.
Welcome to the Arts, and this week it's Arts Roundup. The Czech Republic and Slovakia both have excellent and respected art schools, but that doesn't mean it's easy for emerging new talent to always gain a foothold in the outside world. A new not-for-profit organization called Art Banka, or Art Bank, would like to change things, buying works of promising young artists, which in turn can be rented by either public or private firms. The idea is both to highlight interesting work and to improve public and private spaces, which all too often are uninspired or not used to maximum effect. So far, Art Banka has accumulated some 200 works which can be viewed online. The project's Petr Šetz told me more about it this week. He talked first about the difficulties students face when simply trying to break through.
Generally, the number of the students who finish the art school in Czech and Slovak republics, there are altogether maybe 150 people, and after 2 years, maybe just 10 or 15% of them still try to work at the art. Usually they must change their employment because they can't survive on just on the art. So the idea behind the Art Banka was to help to assist these talented people at the beginning of their career.
So basically what you're saying is some would-be artists or future artists give up because they don't receive support in time.
Yeah, that's correct. Usually they start working in advertising agencies or something else, and that's pity because the contemporary art is very important for the society.
How long was the idea for Art Banka in formation?
We firstly started to talk about Art Banka 1 year ago, and we spent maybe 8 to 10 months to prepare the project. And yesterday we had a vernissage and we officially launched the project. It needed some time because the project is sophisticated. It has its own web. We had to solve the agreements, the contracts, a lot of things to be solved.
Now, what is some of the criteria for work that becomes part of Art Banka, and who makes the decisions?
We had an institution which is called Curators Board, and the chairman of this board is curator of the Gallery of Prague, Mr. Dr. Karel Srb. And they have three rounds, and they try to choose the best works. And they started with 120 young artists, and at the end of the process, they choose 30 young artists.
Of these young artists, are any of them well-known at this point, or say on the cusp of becoming well-known, or is that something that will follow?
I would say that maybe two or three of them have some name in the country, but generally there are not so many artists in the Czech Republic who have some names, maybe names like David Černý or Jiří David or Jiří Černický. But at the age of 28 or 30, generally there are not so many famous names. So this project can help them to start their career.
How does it work in practice? Because I've read that Art Banka is a not-for-profit organization.
That's right, that's right.
So how does it work financially?
We start to buy the pieces of art maybe 3 weeks ago, and basic funds are given to the Art Banka by the founders of the Art Banka. And once the pieces of arts are bought, then we try to rent them to the public sector or to corporations. And from that, we generate next funds. And with these funds, we can buy the new pieces of art.
And to come back to the artists who were selected or the works that were selected, are they different materials? Is there a preference for, say, painting or sculpture, or is it basically all of the above?
Basically, there is no preference, but in reality, paintings are prevailing because that's from the nature of what the students or what the young artists are doing. So we've got maybe 80% of the art in the Art Banka is paintings. Then we have some photographs, video art, and some objects. Sculptures and so on. But 80% are paintings.
I'm curious, to a degree it strikes me that part of the responsibility of art schools should be to help sort of launch their former students or their emerging students into the public sphere. Do you think that they themselves are doing enough, or are they doing enough to help young artists?
I think they do what they can, because, you know, the budgets of art schools are not so big, but they were involved in the process. They try to help us to find out the best talents. And each school, that means in Ostrava, Brno, Košice, Bratislava and Prague, we had some so-called scouts, and they helped us to, in the first round, to find the best talents. So they were definitely involved, and they would do more, and they would be happy to do more, but the budgets, that's the problem.
You mentioned public space or commercial space. That's one of the things that strikes me as very interesting about this whole project, because often these spaces offer very little or perhaps just cheap reproductions. Do you think that there's a lot of room there to, say, push more interesting work in the public space?
This is the main idea behind the project, because we believe that contemporary art can influence society. And from the first impression, because we had some discussions with the CEOs of big corporations and with some people from the public sector, and they were very enthusiastic. And we've got a lot of space in the public sector, in municipalities, Czech post office, Czech railways, and we had some discussion, and they were quite open. So we believe that we can cultivate the environment and influence the people who just pass through the corridors, and now they can see contemporary art. This contemporary art in the Czech Republic is something which is not in the main focus of people.
It's also true that when you're in a space and you see an original, you get a different sense when you're in that space. When you see an original work, it's not, I don't know, the Impressionists done all over again and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right, because sometimes I'm really surprised that so many, even very well-known, renowned corporations, they have just calendars on the walls or nothing, and we would like to change that. And we started with some projects, and the reactions, the first reaction was very positive, because it can totally change the image of the company.
Petr Šec of the Art Banka project talking to me there about the benefits of the project in pushing work by emerging artists in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. So we do wish them best of luck with that. If you'd like to look up some of the artwork in their database, you can do so. You can find them on the web, and you'll find the address at our website, radio.cz. If you've been following Radio Prague for more than a few years, you may be familiar with the adventures of Czech Arctic explorer Jan Eskimo Veltzl, a famous figure who spent more than 20 years in the frozen wastes of Siberia, as well as North America, and eventually died and is buried in Dawson. In 2003, we profiled his exceptional life in a two-part series. He has also been the subject of an illustrated children's book by famous New York author Petr Sis, and his life has been the subject of several films.
Now the early 20th century explorer, though, comes to life on the Prague stage in a new play called Wanted Wetzel, written by Karel František Tománek. According to the play's director Jiří Havelka, as well as author Tománek, the story focuses less on blurry areas between fact and fiction in Wetzel's adventures and more on the character himself. Most important is the fierce dominance of spirit that he had. Karel František Tománek says this.
What is so fascinating for me about Wetzel, and is very close to my heart, is his ability to live according to what he chooses. That's how I'd like to live as well.
Survival is an equally important aspect in Wanted Wetzel. As one actor in the production admitted, only one person in the story, in Rough and Tumble Dawson, survives to the final curtain. You can find out more information at Davidske Givadlo's website, but be warned, as is all too often the case with the popular Prague theater, all performances of Wanted Wetzel, at least as far as April is concerned, have already sold out. 2 weeks ago, a precious black and white nude called The Wave by the great 20th century Czech photographer František Drtichol was stolen from Prague's Museum of Decorative Arts. But this Thursday, thanks to an art gallery owner in California who was offered the print by a seller, it was returned. Police investigator Tomáš Rubeš describes how the gallery owner helped in the case.
California businessman Joseph Bello played the biggest role in helping us find the stolen photo. He contacted people at the Art Loss Register in London, and they contacted the museum, which let us know what had happened. Then steps could be put in place for the print to be returned.
The stolen print, it should be noted, was an unsigned predecessor of the final recognized version, but had still nevertheless been insured at 1 million crowns. Following the theft, the Museum of Decorative Arts in Prague has confirmed it is strengthening security. And that's the Arts Roundup today.
That was Jan Wellinger with a roundup of recent stories from the Czech art scene. We are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a reround of Sound Czech, our Czech language learning program brought to you by Rosie Johnston.
Welcome to another edition of Sound Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which you can learn idioms through song lyrics. Today we'll be listening to a tune by one of the most popular Czech bands of the decade, Činasky. The song's title is Chatra, which means the rabble, or riffraff in Czech. And the phrase to listen out for is Přesto nejede vlak. Přesto nejede vlak translates literally into English as a train can't be driven across it, and is what you say about someone when they're determined to do something or stubbornly set in their opinion. I can't think of any suitably transporty equivalents in English, but I think that when a Czech says to je její názor a přesto nejede vlak, an English speaker might say that's her opinion, which is set in stone, or that's what she thinks, and that's that. Let's have a listen to the phrase one more time. Trains, or vlaky, come up in other Czech idioms too. Czechs don't miss the boat if they want to get involved in something but it's too late. They miss the train. A Czech might reproach you because nechal sis ujet vlak, you let the train pass you by, while an English speaker would probably say you missed the boat on that one. But this is not surprising, really, when you think that the Czech Republic is about the most unseafaring country in Europe. Czechs really do like their trains, or at least as far as idioms are concerned. They naskočiv poslední chvíli do vlaku, or jump on the train at the last minute, while English speakers, somewhat more vaguely, jump on board at the last minute. And a last piece of railway trivia. If you're a scientist, say, and your research is leading you in the wrong direction, or indeed taking you nowhere, then you are na slepé koleji. The English equivalent is similar, you're on the wrong track. But it's not identical, because while English speakers are on the wrong track, Czech speakers are na slepé koleji, literally on the blind track. And that's all we've got time for this week. I hope you enjoyed your whistle-stop tour of all things train-like. But for now, na staranu, goodbye. Stává se s tebem maniak, no a přesto vlak nejede, je to tak, ne jinak, ty dráke jede. Je to tak, přesto nejede vlak, trochu to zvedá tlak, do popravy jen zahínka, v tom filmu chybí omínka. Je to tak, a ty vidíš jak, stává se s tebem maniak, no a přesto vlak nejede, je to tak, ne jinak, ty dráke jede.
Rosie Johnstone with Soundcheck wrapped up Radio Prague's English show for today. All our programs and others are available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradská 12 12099 Prague 2. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening. And goodbye.